Stain Gang podcast time as we visit with Bernita Jackson to talk about Midwestern State women's basketball. Glad you could be with us for the podcast. Be sure to tell your friends about the podcast. It'll come out almost every week. We'll take some time off for the holidays here in a couple of weeks, but throughout the basketball season, we'll be visiting with Bernita. And you took the team down to San Angelo to play in what you knew, and you told me this back even before the season started. You knew this trip to San Angelo was going to be tough,
yes.
That you were going to play two really good teams in Tampa and Missouri Southern. And against Tampa, you played really well, especially in the fourth quarter.
Yes, we did. Really good team, and hats off to Tampa. I mean, just really good guards. They're ranked nationally, very seasoned. And, I mean, for us as coaches coming in, we need to see, you know, kind of what that looks like to have a nationally ranked team. And so it helps us assess better for recruitment for the future. If we just kind of go in and pad the schedule early, I don't think that benefits us in the long run, even though it might feel like a quick fix. We don't want that. We want to build something that's going to last longer than one or two seasons. And so getting to see those teams up close, and I was proud of our girls for executing the game plan. And and Coy just had an amazing fourth quarter. She played well all night, but
she scored 21 of her 33 in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And we found out she's a really good three-point shooter.
She is. It's just a matter of her, you know, squaring up and shooting it. So I was happy to see her kind of regain that confidence and start shooting the ball again. And that's the funny thing about making a few shots. You start realizing, oh, I can shoot this. But no, she played really well, even rebounding wise. She was all over the glass, and she was kind of getting back to what we're used to seeing her. She's just a workhorse. Like, she gets after it. You don't really see her take possessions off. It took her a few games to find her groove, but I was really proud to see her blossom against Tampa and hopefully continue to progress as we go on.
You played so well against Tampa, and even though you lost that game, it was kind of disappointing Saturday.
Yes.
But the team, to me, as I told you in the postgame show, it looked like a tired team that you had out on the floor.
Yeah.
And with Amos out, there's players that were putting in more minutes maybe than they were accustomed to. Or am I just making an excuse for your team?
Yeah, I think all of that stuff goes into play. I think, you know, all of those factors come into it, as well as Missouri Southern had just lost by 30 the night before to Angelo, and so they started three new players, and so they're playing with a different fire.
And,
you know, we didn't play with enough fire, so it made for a rough game for us. But, I mean, again, another really good team who is – they've always been at the top of their league, won some conference championships, very well coached, played at the national level. Like, we need to see stuff like that, because for the future, the way that we're recruiting and building, we want to get to that level. And we got to see not just who's good in the Lone Star, we need to see who's good at all levels of the NCAA Division II. So that's been, for us as coaches, something that we really want to, like, put ourselves up against, so we can kind of compare. And we talk about recruiting all the time. It's happening now. It's happening every day. And it, that experience has even helped shift the way that we're recruiting, you know, some other players these next couple of months. So I think it's healthy for us in the long run. I mean, again, we could have padded the schedule and got, you know, some easy quick fix wins right away just to get people excited. But for us, we believe in the big picture and the long term, and just working the process and laying the foundation and getting players used to playing stiff competition. Like, our men's soccer team, I think the best team in the country.
You can make that argument pretty easily, that they are unbeaten.
Yeah, but I don't think you get to a place like that if you're not playing good competition all over the country. And so, you know, we're not there. No, you know, we're nowhere close to that. But I think if you're looking at something like that big picture, you kind of have to put yourself up against that early on, so you know what to prepare for. What pieces do I really need? So that has been good for us. It's been healthy for us as coaches. You know, even getting to see our players that did rise to the occasion and did learn from it, a lot of them have grown from the experience.
You know, this is something I asked Justin, but I haven't asked you. Do you ever get a chance to talk to Michael Meacham? Have you picked his brain at all? because he is having such success with the men's soccer program.
Oh yes, I'm around there picking his brain, Justin's, Casey's, all of them, because you know, well, Justin went.
You might want to stay away from Casey.
I know, right?
I kid Casey.
No, I get a chance. We're all in the same area for offices, so I'm always asking him questions. Now Meacham, if he's on that phone, I'm not messing with him. Okay, he's usually you know, having a serious conversation. But other than that, like if he's not on the phone, like I'll like pick his brain to ask questions, and he does the same with me. But he's definitely somebody who like will just share and give advice and talk about different things that you can do or better ways of doing stuff. And yeah, I've taken a lot of his advice as well as Justin. Justin the same way. He's like, hey, we're 4 years ahead of y'all. So where y'all are now, we were there 4 years ago, and we get it. And so it is tough coming in, and so they also offer really good advice on kind of, you know, what we could do with recruitment and all that kind of stuff. And so some of it we knew, some of it was just kind of, you know, new insight from current coaches that has been beneficial. But really all of the coaches at MSU have been helpful, even Spence and Kelsey, all of them. They've been very helpful and encouraging after games, like texting and saying, Coach, y'all are doing good, y'all are doing fine, like keep your head up, your girls are competing, and it's just a process. So they've all been very helpful. But yeah, Meach, when I see him standing over there on that Gatorade water cooler, I'm like, if he jumps off the cooler and like it looks like he's gonna karate chop somebody, I don't want to be anywhere around.
He may karate chop somebody. That's always a possibility. Yeah. I was kidding with Justin that, you know, Meach is so withdrawn, he's not willing to share any opinions. No, he's just the opposite. And he's a huge basketball fan, by the way.
He is. And he's always at the game, sitting on the baseline, kind of watching and assessing. He'll come walk through practices sometimes. And no, he's definitely just a competitor at heart.
Oh, so for sure.
He's just a, like, I mean, as competitive as he is and that kind of stuff, he still shares and helps and is very, you know, I would say like a good team player to have around here. Same thing. I run in like football coaches, Scott Lynn, all of them with tennis. They're just like very helpful, very welcoming. This is who you need to talk to. This is, you know, this is how you can get it going. You'll get it, Coach. So
don't tell Scott I said this, but I love him, man.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And you mentioned Kelsey, and it strikes me, Kelsey Bruce, our cross country and track coach here, she went through kind of the same thing you're going through right now. She took over a program that was down, and she's, you know, she's been building that program, and they've come a long way under her tutelage.
Yeah, that's one of the main things, is just like when you're going through something, sometimes it can feel like you're the only one. But then when you have other coaches that kind of step in and say, you know, I went through it, you know, just get through that first year. And then after that, you know, things start to change. And it's been very encouraging, uplifting. Even our admin, they'll like call or text me after games and say the same thing. And I'm just like, but we didn't win, you know, because I want to win. And they know that, but they're just like, it's a process and you'll get it. So it's nice to have kind of that belief from the others around, because y'all all see a change that I didn't necessarily see from y'all's perspective. I just see what it can be and what it will be, you know. So, but it's nice to hear even you and Trey's perspective on, you know, it's different. Like the girl, you know, it's a lot better, and they play more united. So I'm excited about that and just where that can take us, because that's a good foundation when they're playing together.
The last thing you want to do is listen to me, Bernina.
No, well, I do. I listen to you. I listen to all your podcasts, even if it features other coaches. I'm listening.
I appreciate that, by the way. I did want to ask you, we're through non-conference. What have you learned about the team? And where do you go from here?
Yeah, I would say biggest thing that I've learned is that overall, our players in spurts are starting to get it. So, like, you had, you know, Zaria have a breakout game opening weekend, and Michaela had a breakout game on the road. And Tisa was pretty steady for us before the injury. And then our point guards are kind of getting it, that we don't have to rush into shots, that we can, you know, pace the game and slow down and work for a better shot. So they're getting it, but it's still not as consistent as we would like to be. But they're hungry, they continue to ask questions and watch film, they stay coachable. And so I mean, for us, preseason, we would love to win all of them. But moving forward, we calling this week like a fresh start. We're heading into conference play, and we got to just focus on what's right in front of us. We can't keep looking in the rearview mirror. So I think I've learned that, you know, if we can get everybody to kind of hone in and produce together, you know, we can come out on the other side of this thing. But when you have those players have those breakout nights, it shows you that they're still competing, they're still playing, they still want to win, they're still executing, and you see a little bit of that confidence, you know, come up in those moments. And again, if we could just get them to do it together on the same night, I think it will make them feel a lot better, and not feel, because you can kind of grow weary in doing good, especially if you don't see a win at the end of it. And you could be doing all these good things, but then somebody just, you know, two or three more possessions and you beat you. And so you can have a tendency to kind of get a little weary, but we just continue to encourage them, like, keep doing good, keep sowing seeds, keep watering the seeds, and at some point we'll see a harvest. Like, that's just a principality that you can't change. But if you give up, you're not ever going to see the harvest.
Yeah, right. So. You mentioned Kurtiza. What's her status?
Right now, she was in practice. Right now it's just day-to-day. We're waiting to see kind of if she'll be able to play this week or not. We're kind of preparing the team in case she's not able to play, you know, as usual. But she's day to day right now, just trying to get back and get strong. We don't want her to go back out there limping around. And so if it was up to her, she would have played all last week. But we don't want that. We want her to be healthy so that she can be more help. When kids aren't healthy, they can hinder you no matter how good they are. And she understands that. She's an ultimate team player. So we got her focused on getting healthy. And another one that we think should be back soon is Paris Miller. She should be coming back hopefully in another couple weeks. We're thinking maybe at the end of the break she'll be able to come back. But really nice shot, good height, good size on her as well. And we're thinking we'll be able to get her back, which we need a little bit more depth. So both of them getting healthy would benefit us.
Well, you got a real challenge coming up here Thursday night. This Texas women's team, we've seen them over the last couple of years. They've 20-plus wins each of the last 2 years.
Yes.
And just a really talented team, mm-hmm. with great balance as well.
Absolutely.
So how do you attack TWU?
I think you, well, going into it, we already know kind of what they want to do. I think they play Henderson State this past Saturday, and Henderson State kind of gave a good blueprint on.
Yeah, they took a loss to Henderson State.
Mm-hmm. How to guard them and how to just, you know, contain Ingram as much as possible. Ingram is a huge part of what they do, is their post player who can just finish.
She's just a remarkable player.
She is. She got great hands. She could finish inside. You're never going to see her be frantic with the ball. And she does such a great job of drawing the foul. I think she shot like 54 free throws so far. I'm like, wow. And only, what, 5 or 6 games? That's a lot. But it's because she's so smart. She's so savvy with the basketball. They got a really good point guard that's going to set them up and knock down shots when needed. And then they have other guards that can slash and shoot as well. Good forwards that balance Ingram out, and they work that high-low. I mean, you're right. They're very seasoned. They're very balanced, very well coached. They're going to play hard. They're going to be tough. They're going to be physical. And they're definitely looking to, you know, kind of redo what they did last year and win the Lone Star. So.
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed blessing. You mentioned Henderson State may have given you a little bit of a blueprint,
mm-hmm.
but you also mentioned Missouri Southern, how irritated they were after getting beat by Angela State. You're going to have an irritated TWU team come in here on Thursday. They're not going to be happy that they lost that game.
No, they're not going to be happy, so they're going to come in with something to prove. So I'm going to see if I can distract them in warm-ups a little bit or something. I don't know. But, they will. They'll come in with some fire. I mean, plus it's conference play.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Who's not excited about starting conference play?
For sure.
I mean, that's one of those things that, like, as a basketball player, coach, fan, this is the most exciting time of the year. So they're going to come in with a lot of energy, and we got to be ready for that. We got to come in with energy. We got to be ready, you know, to compete and go at them and execute the game plan for 40 minutes. We do it right now for maybe 20, 25. We haven't figured out the full 40 minutes. So if we could ever figure that out, we could come out on the other side of it. And I believe that our girls are capable of it. They just have to do it. And then once they see themselves do it, then maybe they'll have the same belief in it. But that's kind of the hard part about, you know, the rebuild process is, you know, just trying to get them to stay focused on doing all those things that make a difference. The little things like boxing out or, you know, getting in denial or pressuring the ball or just talking, just little stuff that TWU does very well and naturally because a lot of those girls have played together. And then they got some good transfers in as well. So they're good. They're a good team. They can go about 9 or 10 deep. They're really good. And they have good height, good size as well. So it'll be a good game.
It is going to be nice to be back at home, though.
Be nice to be at home. We've been on the road 4 games. So it's always funny because our daughter, she travels with us, but she loves the bus. So every time she sees the bus, she's like, the wheels on the bus go round and round. That's her favorite part, getting to see the girls, high-fiving them. And she just loves it. But, no, we're happy to be home, happy to be back in Ligon. And we're going to go at Texas Women's. Like, I don't care who they are. I don't care what their record is. We're going to go at them. We're going to compete. They still got to play the same 40 minutes we got to play. So they're going to play with some fire. We going to play with some fire, too. So
you got me fired up. thanks for your time. I appreciate you being with us on the podcast. We look forward to seeing the game Thursday night. And then Saturday, you've also got a game against UT Tyler. That'll be Saturday afternoon. That's a 1 o'clock start at Ligon Coliseum against UT Tylers. We'll take on the UT Tyler Patriots. Bernita, thank you so much, and we'll see you next week on the podcast.
All right, thank you.
That's Bernita Jackson, the women's head coach here at Midwestern State University. Thanks for being with us on the podcast. Be sure to tell your friends about the podcast, and be sure to be at Ligon Coliseum Thursday as Midwestern State takes on TWU. It's a 5:30 tip, and hoping for a little dome magic. So long.